It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cut in class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
That's right. Thank you very much, Kid Rock. Monday, April 15th, 2024, the dreaded date for a lot of taxpayers,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Are you there, Jim?
Yeah,
bring your mic up a little bit.
Hello.
There you are.
Hello.
A little bit.
Need a little more game there. Hello.
The game, you know what happens is those channels get, I wouldn't say an older board, but it's analog in that respect, the game channels.
Yes.
So, you know, they get a little dusty. Is that the word?
Like us.
Like you, maybe. Not
I'm,
like me.
I'm afraid I left myself open for that one.
I'm going to have to ask the chief if that falls under elder abuse,
yeah,
me calling you dusty.
Yep, it does.
Are
I'm
you...
I'm keeping a log.
Are you? I think that's one of the requirements you're supposed to do when it comes to the state. And all that.
Yep.
How'd you do... kind of a personal question,
oh,
but
okay.
Do you dread tax day? I do, but... I shouldn't, for different reasons. I procrastinate.
You know, it's just one. I dread it because it's one of those many things that comes up. We have so darn much stuff we have to do, so many critical times and things. It's just another one that gets abused and set aside for, don't call the CPA. What extensions are there?
You know, with inflation the way it is and people making more money and paying out more money for this, that, and the other thing, why, I don't understand, why is the 1099 amount set at $600 still?
Yeah, strange.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it doesn't buy you much.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
I mean, it should be double that now.
Oh,
it's
easily.
Been $600 for how many years?
Yeah. Forever.
Since you've been a businessman.
Yeah.
Which is like, what, 1940 something?
Yeah. 42.
Hey, Jim, what day is this? What day is this otherwise? We got these two gentlemen in the studio. What do you call it in Spanish?
Oh, this is the very special day. El Día de los Dos Jefes.
That's right. The day of the two chiefs. And we have Chief Troy Sterling in the studio from the Lake Havasu City Police Department. Chief Pete Palafis. We call him Chief Pete, Chief Troy. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good.
All right. You look bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, right?
Well, it's a Monday. And speaking of tax day, I mean, that's every day.
How's that?
You get taxed every day.
Well, right. That's true.
So, I mean, shouldn't be any different. But
right.
It is the end of year.
There is that day. We'll have to find out what it is when you're free and clear of taxes on average.
Oh, yeah.
It's sometime in May. Yeah. You work from... January to May, just for the government, is what I've heard.
Yeah.
Those people that owe, everybody owes,
how
much you're refunded, which is your tax refund. So, anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. And, man, it was a pretty good weekend. I don't know if you went out and about in it, but a little windy at the home show, from what I understand.
Yes, they had quite a bit of wind at the home show. Great idea. I think they just relaunched that. Seems like a great thing. The old home show was a good right. asset for our community.
Unfortunately, the Aquatic Center was booked for the date they wanted that show, so I think they're going to do a little bit more coordination for next year, possibly. Anyway, that's the Chamber Hour. We're going to talk about law enforcement and firefighting today, right?
Sure.
You're coming in later this month. What's that all about?
You're the one that booked it with me.
You booked it. You asked for it, but it's because of a new position that you've hired.
It is.
Or a new person that you've hired for a position that was open.
Yeah, it's with our new Deputy Chief of Administration, Garrett Roberts. You had an opening, and we asked if we could come speak. So
yeah.
I appreciate you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
You should appreciate Brian Springberg for the day opening up.
Yeah, Brian, I appreciate you, too.
Very good. One thing we don't appreciate here in town is graffiti, though, right, Chief?
Yes.
There's been a lot of, there's been an increase in graffiti various places around town. Do we have any suspects, and how does that all get prevented?
Yeah, the prevention is tough, but really it comes down to asking our citizens to be vigilant. So, what we pride ourselves in this community is when we do have incidents of graffiti, especially that are reported to us, we make a habit of ensuring that it gets cleaned up. And so, you know, if you clean it up, then it doesn't encourage more, you know, graffiti to occur, especially in that same area. We have had, it runs in spurts. We run across this every year. Sometimes it's in areas that aren't visible to the public, maybe more private property, those type of things. But then you have some that sticks out more, maybe along the highway corridor on a wash or something like that. And so that's where people tend to see it. And so always encouraging people, make sure that you report that to us. It can be anonymous. But if we don't know about it, then we can't work on getting it cleaned up. So in the recent cases that we've had, yeah, we do have some investigative leads that we're working on right now, and that's not uncommon. With today's technology, the use of social media, a lot of times we're able to track down the culprits, and so it helps with getting some restitution for the cleanup efforts.
How does that work? With social media, do you have officers that focus on that? Maybe not 8 hours a day, but a good significant portion of their
day?
Yeah,
it's really just a common thing that you use in any investigation, you know, all the way from background investigations on new hires, mm-hmm. all the way through any type of criminal investigation. People post a lot of things on their social media accounts, and so a lot of times that's been beneficial.
Are you able, your agency, are you able to work with Facebook, say, in a major case and get information that may have been deleted from social media accounts?
Not so much deleted, but we do work with, you know, such as Facebook.
Uh-huh.
A lot of times it just depends on what the circumstances are, but it may take an actual search warrant to be able to collect data. But we have law enforcement contacts with respective social media outlets.
That's so cool, Jim. It's like CSI, right?
Yeah, very neat.
Yeah, I think so, too. What about prevention tips and reporting when it comes to graffiti and other vandalism around town? Can you report stuff like that, maybe like silent witness?
Absolutely, yeah. The 854 tips is a common one, and then we have the tips at lhcaz.gov. And so, yeah, we always encourage those type of tips to come in, and we follow up on all of them.
Can you text tips in? Because a lot of times people don't think about it until they see it,
right,
and their phone is right there on them.
Yeah, we've had people do that and actually take a picture of it and send it in as well through that text app. So, yeah, I appreciate that.
Wow, that's very, very cool.
It seems that I recall a few years back we had same conversations about graffiti.
Yeah.
Is it something that periodically resurges?
It's cyclical.
I would say yes.
Because
it doesn't seem to be a constant thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, going back years ago, we had actually a gang element that had come in from primarily California, but some from Nevada. And that took a lot more investigative strategies to be able to find those responsible. But a lot of what we're seeing today is more, you know, I say our youth, primarily our youth, going out and just tagging, you know, different areas, monikers that, you know, they believe in, those type of things. And again, we try to tie those back to things maybe we see in the schools, mm-hmm. you know, getting the help of our teachers, because a lot of times it's not the first time they've written that that logo or emblem down. So typically there's people out there that know who it is.
I was thinking it's from people that migrate here from Chicagoland. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, we have a lot of, yeah, a lot of that.
A lot of troublesome people.
A lot of artists.
I'm an artist. Are you an artist? How about that? A pair of drawers.
Yes.
That's a Three Stoogesism right there.
Yes.
All right. So what about the new ambulance that Jess Knutson mentioned last week on the program? I know you listen to the program a lot.
I do.
Probably not when Jess Knutson's on.
No, I listen when Jess is on. I really listen all the time. I'm one of your three listeners.
17.
Oh, 17. Sorry.
So what's so
this season?
This season is you got that right. So what about the need and the cost and all that? What's the need for a new ambulance right now? Is it one or two?
So the thing is, it's actually two. That was during that agenda setting was two, and then we'll be coming back on April 23rd for our third. Now, I think we've talked about this, Paul. This has been going on for about 3 years that we've been working on our medical transport program for the city. So we have a sole provider, River Medical, that provides the transport. And what we did was create a public-private partnership with them to enhance our service delivery to our citizens. And when I came in as chief, we did our study, our comprehensive study that had a piece in there with the ambulance feasibility program. And the thing is, we submitted our certificate of necessity through the Department of Health Services February 15, 2023. So we've been going through this process, and we actually just finished our hearing with DHS to get our certificate of necessity issued to us. So we're in the period of, I say, about 30 to 60 days that we'll be able to provide ambulance transport, another service provider within the city boundaries with River Medical. Now, the CON is governed by the state of who can transport patients to the hospital. So you have to have a certificate of necessity. And again, we've been working on this for really since I started here in Havasu, looking at the redundancy in the system, the demand that we have, and patient outcome, response time. So this has been in the planning phases, and part of our fiscal budget was, once we get the CON, that we need a reliable fleet. So now we're purchasing three ambulances. We have our two reserve, and we're getting rid of one. So we're going to have a total of five ambulances that are available in the city, but we're going to only run two full-time at Station 1 at 96 Acoma, and then at Station 2 at 2065 Kiowa. So those will be 24/7. They are only going to run 911 emergency transport within the city boundaries. So now that we have availability 24/7, 365, along with River Medical, and our whole deployment model is closest available unit. So we're going to use technology, GPS. When someone calls in 911, our dispatch can say, which ambulance is closer, River Medical or Havasu? And then we're going to deploy the appropriate unit to that location. So now we have redundancy in our system of having a backup, which we've been working with River Medical, a great partnership with them, and it's finally all coming together. And this is the purposes of getting a reliable fleet of ambulances so we can serve this beautiful community. Gosh.
Is this a an adverse competition for
River Medical? No.
It would seem like they have an exclusive, and then now all of a sudden they don't.
Well, the thing is, you know what? I think a lot of things have changed. The employee demographics and the people that are coming into the service. And I think it's a great partnership, showing that public and private can work together for serving our community. Now, River Medical has their CON, you know, is 8,700 square miles. We're just taking 46 of that in the city.
Okay.
So the thing is, you know, sometimes they're doing interfacility transport. They're also doing 911. So I think this is a great partnership, and we've worked really well with the management at River Medical and us in the city. And I couldn't do this without City Manager Knutson, the mayor, the city council.
Jerry Brockamani. I got to mention Jerry.
So the thing is, it was looking at the data, looking at the facts, looking at the needs, and really doing it for our community, focused on patient care and outcome. And that's what's great, that we finally have redundancy in our system and a backup, and we can feed off of each other, help each other out for the best outcome.
What about demand, especially right now, you know, April, May, snowbirds leaving, especially this past weekend in my complex anyway. Does that tend to play a role here?
I think it all plays a factor. The city is growing. It's getting bigger. The demand is, our population really puts that demand. When we have basically 85% of the people that live here are over 50 years of age. We have 33% that are over 65. So we have the vulnerable population that have chronic problems, needs a little bit more help in serving them. And why not best the city and River Medical do that? So this is something that's been going on for quite a while. Now the plan is just getting into an effect, and we're moving forward with it. We already have the staffing. These are just getting the reliable fleet that we need for the program, and it's all working out really well. And it's best for both of us.
So these are essentially the same firefighters who would go out on that 911 call, except now they're going to be operating an ambulance and can turn around and transport.
Yes, in addition to.
Okay.
So we're the first primary responder with our ALS. We have medics on all of our apparatus. Now we're going to have the capability of getting there with an ambulance, rendering care, treatment, and then transport too. So then we don't have to wait for anybody to come and transport. And if River Medical's closer, our guys will still go, our engine will still go, depending on the level of call, and we can get into that later on. But the thing is, this is a great resource for this city because it's a needed resource.
Wow.
And the thing is, it's all working together.
Right.
So
very neat.
For some reason, you requested Chris Stapleton today.
Yeah, I did. Something different.
A different song than I'm playing now, but I'll get into that.
Yeah.
I hear that request a lot, by the way, playing out there. A lot. And people can just guess what that is. We'll probably come back with it. Back with more in a moment. We've got Police Chief Troy Sterling and Fire Chief Pete Palafis, along with Brother Jim Russell, and a great shirt. That's a great shirt. Number one, it's black.
Number two, it's Desert Storm.
It said in the intro, white-suited John Travolta look-like. I am neither either or. I'm not a John Travolta look-like, and you don't want to see me wear white like Chief Troy is right now. It's just an invitation for something to hit my shirt.
Sort of like fake pen?
Yeah, well, kind of, yeah. It's like coffee stains, whatever stains you can think of. There you go. Even a little bowl of fruit, something will spill if I wear white, right? Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Don't go looking for the reasons. Don't go asking Jesus why. We're not meant to know the answers. They belong to the by.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. And the funny thing is, Chief Pete got it mixed up. It wasn't Chris Stapleton he wanted to hear. Mm-hmm. But I've never heard the song that I don't think that you want to hear.
Well, hopefully you can play it, and then we can...
I will. I teased Chris Stapleton, so... Anyway, and I'd never heard of the artist that you wanted to hear from. Yeah. So, anyway, I'm on strike two when it comes to Jim. Is that what you're telling me?
Yep. The next thing I'm going to be on the phone
because you're a mandatory reporter.
Yes, I am, for elder abuse. So,
man, but that's only if I talk about him on the air, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, because
it's recorded.
Yes,
and I have to report.
All right, won't make fun of your age then. Okay, Jim.
Okay, good.
Speak Out, brought to you in part by... Hey, you know what? He may be a little older than us, but he still works his butt off.
He does.
You bet.
Right.
You bet.
Can I say butt on the radio?
I think so.
I got called in one time for saying butt hurt. No, I'm not kidding. It was like 15 years ago. You can't say butt
times
hurt anymore.
Times have changed.
I'm like, butt hurt? Wow. Okay. Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, by Just Meats, all the cuts all the time, a locally owned and operated butcher shop in Lake Havasu City, by Patio Paradise, also by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 53 years. Ask about Salmon's superior maintenance plan. And by Jim's favorite place to eat breakfast, Blonzy's Steakhouse.
Yep, best breakfast in town.
Pretty dang good.
And you can get breakfast all day long, which is another great benefit.
Did you try that Northwest Moco Loco yet?
I'm still sticking with the bacon.
Man, that thing will hold you over all day, I'm telling you. Steaks are just the beginning, and they're one of the best breakfasts in Havasu. Check out their Mopar versus Bowties car show this Saturday. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, they have some neat events on the weekends.
I just found out what bow ties are.
Oh, well.
Besides the obvious that Charles Perrault used to wear.
Yeah, besides the wearing model.
Or Charles Osgood. That was the bow tie guy.
Yeah.
No, it's the Chevy logo.
Chevy emblem, yes.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. All right, I want to talk about other departments in the tri-state area. I've heard on our other show, 2.0, that they have crisis intervention teams. Does the Lake Havasu City Police Department have a crisis intervention team?
So the police department does not, but we house, we have some space in our facility where the crisis team is located. And so that's kind of a nice little relationship that we built. I don't know if you remember back in October 2022, Arizona Complete Health essentially was tasked with bringing in some crisis teams into Mojave County area. And so they contracted with community health associates. And so they were assigned to our area. And conversation-wise, they were looking for some space. And under Chief Doyle, we've had the philosophy that we really wanted some type of a crisis team here in Lake Havasu. So we thought that was a great opportunity to be able to provide them some space. They moved in and they hit the ground running. And so their team, having them essentially located in our facility, really creates a great relationship, especially with our supervisors and our officers that are working on the street. Mm-hmm. They have that direct connection with them, and the crisis team is not hesitant to respond to any situation that we deem we need them.
Right.
And we also refer cases to them when maybe they didn't respond, and they do follow up on those. So it's been a very valuable asset for our community, and so we're happy to have them here.
So
just going to inquire, did these people just become added to the community and your department? I mean, were these trained and operating in this capacity elsewhere? And
they are. The team leader, Terry, she started here in Lake Havasu, and she's been tasked with finding team members to assist. I don't think she's gotten to capacity. They're still trying to find qualified people to be able to be a part of that team. And but Terry herself has been a great asset for us. We can call her up 24/7.
What makes them qualified? What are you looking for?
We have nothing to do with
the
hiring aspect
of
it. Yeah, obviously, being in our facility, the only thing they have to pass is a background to be able to have access to our facility.
Now, the next topic is a little touchy, but I have talked about suicide on the program before, especially when it comes to the hashtag You Matter, folks, and that walk and that sort of thing. But I've known one person since late November that actually took their own life. And then there's, you know, people call me, they talk and say, you know, what's going on in town? There seems to be an increase. Or maybe it's not an increase, but there seems to be a lot of noticeable suicides lately here in Havasu.
Yeah, I mean, statistically speaking, we keep the monthly stats, and we also share those stats with a hashtag You Matter, just to kind of, you know, see where, if there are any gaps, you know, where does information need to be sent to, those type of things. Over the years, you know, we had a spike there back in 2020-ish.
Really?
Right there. We had a spike.
The pandemic. Okay.
Yeah. And it hasn't really necessarily dropped so much. It's sporadic, right? It's not consistent. What we have seen more of is really the ideation side of it, right? People that are thinking about it. And then we break it down into maybe they've tried something that overt attempt, and then the actual ones that actually follow through with
it. Let me stop you there. Does that person that's attempting or ideation, as you say, mm-hmm. did they generally reach out, or is it somebody that they're communicating with says, I'm going to call 911?
A lot of times it is through a third party. Yeah, we typically get those type of reports, and we respond to those. And again, that's a perfect scenario where the crisis team really comes into play and has been very valuable for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and take a short break, and you can participate as well out there if you're listening. 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. And so this is from you to me, or what?
Yeah, this is
really
just listening.
That's kind of weird, man.
No, not really.
It's called Tennessee Love Song, and neither of us.
It's you want so much to you.
Jim and I are going to leave the room for a moment.
I don't really need a moment alone with Chief Pete, you know. But and neither of us are from Tennessee.
No, Chicago,
Vegas, close. I don't know. I've been on the river longer than I was lived in Vegas, actually. Back with more in a moment. I'm trying to dig out of this hole.
Yeah, you're not doing well.
Seem to be digging deeper. Back with more. Stay with us on Speak Out.
Seen on some 15s, cooler full of cheap beer, sitting in the back of my Jeep. It used to be simple, but now you say it's messing with your mental. It's okay to be scared if you're lonely. Let me show you how to get the feeling gone. A double shot of some sweet, some strong. I know.
All right, we're back on Speak Out with El Dia de los Dos Jefes.
Si.
Hey, I got it right. Whew, I don't even know that in French. I probably should. Anyway, back with the Chiefs, of course, Lake Havasu City Police Chief Troy Sterling, Fire Chief Pete Palafis. Call in if you want to ask a question. I mean, I have questions, but, you know, this show is dedicated to the listener.
Yeah.
Right?
We must be answering all of their questions.
Yeah, maybe. Well, there's only 17 people listening.
That's right.
So. Speak Out brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also The Chair, Havasu Style Dining and Live Entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere, a fantastic view of the London Bridge. Stroll on over to The Chair by Mojave Community College, by SamsGuns.com, also by SunPower, by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food, along with pet toys since 2006, and those...
And the car doggy wash.
Famous conveyor belt doggy washes that don't exist. It's a wash tub, Jim.
I know. It'd be a good idea, though.
It's your million-dollar idea.
That's right.
We have a new sponsor, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if this interests you. I don't think it does, because you're pretty good about mobility. But ZMI Mobility, just think of TMI, it's ZMI Mobility. They have off-road mobility scooters, ramps, lifts for pools and vehicles. There's a lift for pools. Did you know this?
No.
Yeah, a lift. You put it by your pool, and a person who can't get in and out of the pool easily can use it. And car access swivel seats, and also those famous stair lifts.
Yes.
Right? Do you have a two-story house?
No.
Oh, very good. Then you don't need one, but a lot of people do.
No, and I can imagine what a godsend it would be to have the need and to get one.
I want one for the front stair out here for me. Just for Polly.
Just to get to the parking lot.
Polly
well, you know, they
only.
Have an elevator just down the hall.
That's too far. That's too far to walk.
Okay.
Come on, that's down the hall.
Yeah,
the staircase is right outside the door.
That's
just
true.
A stair lift just for me, right?
Sounds perfect.
Can we try to raise money for that? Maybe a GoFundMe. All right, Chief Pete, 90-degree weather is here. Not today, but it'll be here later in the week, probably Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Yeah.
And then I get to play at the boat show
on
Saturday and Sunday.
Black Cat X will be playing at the boat show.
That's right. And 90-degree heat. What hiking tips do you have?
All right. Well,
for folks out there who always get stranded, call the fire department. You guys are there for them. But we're trying to prevent that.
So we are. And the thing is, we have some great signage up at the trail headings over at Sarah Park that kind of give you a reminder. You know what? Start early. Plan ahead. Stick to your trails. Check the weather. And know your limitations, too. Take breaks. But the biggest thing, if you're going to go out during the summer, and I recommend that you don't, is stay hydrated, bring more water. And this is something when I was looking up, no food, no fuel, no fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, how profound.
I know. So the thing is, stay at home and stay cool. The thing is, especially, and this is not so much for the locals, because we know the
we're acclimated.
Yeah,
somewhat.
Yeah, this is for the visitors and the individuals that are staying here and visiting our wonderful city. Is just respect the environment, take care of yourself, and the biggest thing we could do is just keep on giving information out to people to be safe. We are here for you, but that puts some strain on us too, because we're going to have to come out and get you.
What about your firefighters when they're out there at an incident, especially a fire?
Yeah.
And you have that CERT team. How valuable are they? And can people volunteer for the CERT team?
Yeah. The thing is, if you're interested in the CERT team, and see the CERT team is really the backbone of our department when it comes to rehabbing our individuals, taking care of our firefighters. And I appreciate all of the CERT members. And the team leader, Bob McMillan, has been doing an excellent job with the CERT team, and they're always there for us. And if anybody's interested, you can go on to our voluntary website or our website, city website, underneath volunteers, and put in some interest if you are interested in joining the CERT team. But the CERT has always been there for us. We just actually had their annual dinner, just their appreciation dinner, and we do that each year for them just to show them we appreciate them. I'll say most of them. Majority of them were winter visitors, and they're leaving, getting out of the summer. So we still have the core that's here, but we really, really appreciate what they do for our fire department and assist us.
Yeah, we have the pleasure of working with Bob and the CERT guys at lots of our events. And
yep.
They're a wonderful, wonderful asset.
Well, you got one of Chief Troy's cast-offs, right? Richie Sloma.
Yes.
He's busy this time of year.
I don't know if we claim him. But sorry, Richie.
Richie's a good guy. But, no, I want to get to tax tips, especially against tax fraud. Are you guys running into this sort of thing? You know, we hear about it from Mojave County Sheriff's Office a lot. We hear about it from the state police and that. But today being April 15th, I think it's a good idea to give people tips out there on how to deal with those people calling and saying, hey, we can help you with your taxes, or whatever fraud tips that you have.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit on the head. The scams run in gamuts, right? I mean, it's all over the board. There's such a variety of them. So it comes down to really a couple, I think, simple things for our listeners. Is one, if it's too good to be true, it probably is, right? If there's a lack of details involved in it, where the person that's calling, soliciting information from you, they're not giving you a lot, or they're high pressure tactics, right? They're really they're saying there's consequences if you don't act now. You know, there's a variety of things. Asking for refunds or partial payment on maybe something that you haven't received yet, but anticipate.
I can help you get it faster,
yeah,
if you
exactly
send me
right.
This.
You know, we see that as lottery scams a lot, right?
No.
Where if you probably didn't even play the lottery, but here they're calling you saying you won something, so it's probably not true, right?
Right.
And so, it's difficult to say this, but sometimes you just need to be skeptical. Right, and you need to really think what the reason. If it's something where it's coming in via phone calls, you can always ask for their information. I'll call you back. Right, research the company that's reaching out. IRS will not typically, they will not reach out to you and solicit information from you. Don't give your social security number, your bank account information over the phone to somebody that solicited that call. You go to the trusted phone numbers, your bank numbers, those type of things. Research. There's plenty of materials out there. If you just look up the Federal Trade Commission, they issue scam alerts all the time. What's really recent? I was just looking before I came on Experian, you know, your credit check places. They have great tips for the consumers to really be vigilant in protecting yourself and your assets. And so I think those are some simple key tips in there.
It is remarkable that all of those things still work.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it is just
some
remarkable.
People just need somebody to talk to, in my opinion.
Yeah, true.
You know, we see the ones with your car warranty. You know, that's a common one.
Right.
You know, and you know, with today's, you know, the A, you know, artificial intelligence, right? You know, there's spoofing phone numbers. So it looks like you're getting a local call, you know, a call from a local number. You're like, oh, maybe I'm expecting a call from somewhere, and you go ahead and answer it. And it may be like that robocall, that, you know, computer generated, you know, voice. And all they're waiting for you to do is press a number to get more information, right? And then it just rolls in.
They're on you.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Child Abuse Prevention Month is this month, is April.
Yes.
And we had Mary Lou O'Connell on, of course, from Haven last week. And, this is another one of those uncomfortable topics, but being first responders and what is that called, mandatory reporters and that. What is something that people out there that aren't mandatory reporters should look for when reporting child abuse, neglect, or even worse?
Wow. I guess it depends on the situation that you're in, right?
Yeah.
So there's some things, you know, we're talking about child abuse in of itself. And so there's all different sorts of abuse, but the ones that obviously are visible to us are the marks, the injuries, things, you know, looking at those type of things that may be consistent with abuse versus, you know, kids are going to get injured, you know. So looking at what's accidental versus non-accidental and trying to determine those things. And sometimes simple questions or maybe what information you're getting from maybe that child. That's why mandatory reporters are so important for us, like school teachers, nurses, doctors, people in environments that tend to come in contact with that age group. And so, you know, looking for, they're the first ones that are going to see maybe abnormal behaviors. You know, this is just not normal for that child, and maybe more questioning comes into play and they find something else is actually going on. So it's one of those tough areas, but you know, again, having Mary Lou, I think you had Deb Walgren on as well.
Absolutely.
from DCS.
Yes, we did.
Department of Child Services.
See, Jim, we do have a show when you're not here.
Barely.
But I think what's key is you have such a group, a multidisciplinary team of people that work together. So, you know, if, you know, I'm using DCS now because we have Department of Health, Child Services,
right?
If they get a report, they cross-report it to law enforcement and vice versa. We share those things. So we make sure that it may not be something that we have to follow up on because DCS will already be doing it.
Sure.
Or vice versa. Typically, if we're investigating it, DCS is going to be involved, right? And so we just run the gamut of investigating those to kind of see where it goes.
I saw a social media post. It wasn't recently, but it was talking about a woman had a child in a grocery store in a public setting who slapped the child, I mean, hard enough to make the child's nose bleed.
Yeah.
And that person stepped in and actually confronted the mother. And then police were called by the crowd that gathered afterward. Is that something that's wise to do, do you think? Or has that happened in your experience?
It hasn't happened in my experience. That's a tough one. We don't encourage people to get involved, but we encourage people to be good witnesses, right?
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, you get the information and you call us and you'll be a good witness for us. And so it leads us to the next part of the investigative phase.
Chief Pete, do your people step into those situations sometimes where you see child abuse or some kind of neglect going on?
I think Troy really hit it. It's just a reasonable belief that there is something going wrong with this child, either they're malnourished, neglect. The list is on. The best thing we could do is report, start the investigation. You know, because you don't want to not report. You have to report if you have a reasonable belief that this is happening on purpose and not accidental.
I got you.
And just to piggyback off that, as long as you're not doing it maliciously, you know, you have sufficient, you know, concern in that. Reporting it is not, you know, as long as you're not doing it, you know, to try to just get somebody in trouble, then you're going to be protected.
But back to Deb, and we were talking with Mary Lou and Deb. Could have gotten an easy hour out of that show. Sure. And, wow, I mean, what great protectors of children right there on the front line. Absolutely. With those two women. I want to talk about the story that was in the Havasu Herald last week with staffing levels. And I think that fire and police played quite a big role in that. It was something like 25% of all positions in the next 5 years are expected to be either taken by retirements, employees taking retirement, that sort of thing. Can you guys comment on that?
Sure. You want me to take it?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. So when the story did come out with our fire department, particularly to our fire department, I think our HR director, Bobby, did a great overview of the entire city. But when we look at specifically fire department, I have 14 individuals that are in the drop. So that's known as the pension system where they have to retire.
Mandatory.
Well, it's mandatory that they went into the drop. They had, it was a 5-year drop, and then when COVID occurred, you can extend for 2 if you were in there. So that gave them a total of 7. I know that I have 14% of my department that is in the drop.
Gee.
So that's, basically 14 people, 1 deputy,
wow,
1 battalion chief, 7 captains, 3 engineers, 1 firefighter, 1 firefighter, fire prevention officer. Now, how that's working is, based on the extension, in 2026, I'm going to have 2 that have to leave. In 2027, I have 7 that are going to leave. And then I have in 28, 3, 29, 1, and 1. But I also have 40% of the rest of my staff, including them, that are hitting that 20-year eligibility where they could retire if they want to. So, I mean, we could talk about this, but what are we doing to help this? We have the CTE program. We're trying to breed our own. We got our partnerships. So the thing is, we're trying to get individuals there, and the city's trying to remain competitive in the market. So, I mean, we are isolated. We're, you know, people want to have to come here because of the beautiful city, the work environment. So we're making progress towards having a plan instead of just sitting back waiting for something to happen and we're not doing anything about it. And like I quote, if we do nothing, nothing's going to happen.
So quick recap of CTE.
Yeah, the career technical
education
at the high school.
What's going on right now with
it? So, it's going strong. We just interviewed for our next academic year. I didn't get the numbers, but for the last 3 years that we've been there, we've been at or close to capacity. So the word is getting out. Individuals that are interested in fire, emergency medical service, public safety, we're doing our part as the city is trying to get individuals interested to come serve their community, stay in their community, and raise a family here. It's to serve us all. But the thing is, we have to take a more proactive approach of getting out there and selling ourselves. Because right now, I still believe it's a employee market. Everybody's looking for people, and especially being along the river, I feel like sometimes we just take each other as employees.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, you know, we have to start getting some either homegrown, make our own pipeline, and or get people that want to come out here and enjoy this environment.
It's like stepping over dollars to pick up pennies.
It is.
I get you.
It's tough. And the thing is, there's other things that we need to look at too. Is it worth it to train these individuals of what's the cost benefit? You know, I'm putting more in when I could just hire the right person at this amount. So it's going to fluctuate. I think the next, at least for us, 5 years is going to be a challenging time, but at least we have a plan for it.
Chief Troy, he says 14% of his department, right? What about your department?
We don't have that many, but at least in the drop program where it makes it mandatory retirement.
Yeah.
But we do have, I don't know, probably a third of our department that is actually eligible for retirement. So it's just a constant recruitment, retention piece that, especially public safety is always concerned with. So kind of correlating with what Chief Pete has done with the CTE program, we're trying to figure out that gap, how we can fit that, between an 18 and 21-year-old before you can go into the police academy.
Right.
We have a cadet program for the 14 to 21-year-olds, and so we're going into this year hopefully going to try out a paid internship program that, being a cadet, you can carry on as a full-time up until your age 21, where we hope that you'll be in that position and then go right into the police academy. So again, going along that theory of trying to keep our home grown and create that continuous pipeline. So
perfect.
Yeah.
You guys did great today.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Got through every talking point that I had, except one. And that was the last one.
Oh, wow. You've been doing it the whole time.
Yeah, yes, yeah. And it's been witnessed.
Yeah. and we're mandated. We're yes. mandated to report. Can I say
you mean elder abuse?
Yes, one more
wow,
thing.
Wow, okay.
Can't,
yeah, go yeah, ahead.
I appreciate this, but I just want to congratulate the 9U Vipers for their championship this weekend.
Yeah.
And Mesa, great job, boys. You represented Lake Havasu proud, and you guys did great.
All right, perfect. We got to go.
All right.
All right, back with more in a moment. I'll have a final shot on Speak Out. Thanks, guys.
Yep, thanks.
Thank you.
And the hard roads are the ones we're choosing. Someday we'll look back. She's my treasure, so very rare. She made me a millionaire.
Perfect music for a Monday, right?
Yes.
So, boat show this weekend.
Yes, indeed.
Free admission.
No.
No.
Only for you as the band.
Oh, darn. Should we be giving away tickets this week?
$10.
We
yeah.
$10
yeah, we
admission.
We should have, but we'll do it next year.
All right, perfect.
Everything at Desert Storm is free.
Gotcha.
But the boat show is, we got to recover some of the wonderful advertising
right.
we've done.
Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. Tomorrow on the show, Blackbird pilot Chuck Taylor. He is retired, but he's going to be on Speak Out.
Wow.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.